Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Tom Fairbanks, Mr. Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show. Tom, how are you? Are you all ready to make sure all the switches are pointed north?
All the switches are switched and all the buttons are pushed.
You know, in the old days of radio, we had like, you know, the little kind of toggle switch on and off.
And now those big knobs.
Yeah.
You could play hockey with those
big
things.
Big knobs on the console. Yeah. So hopefully we're a little higher tech than that. Anyway, Tom, I'm sure you do a great job for us today. Together, Tom and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday, March 11th, 2016. Talk about a busy weekend. We've got the book festival. We've got the air show. And for those of us who have Irish heritage, the parade Sunday. We've got the St. Patrick's Day parade, getting a jump start on St. Patrick's Day, which is actually, I think, Thursday. Joining me in studio today to talk to our Friday Focus interview, which is with Mr. Michael Ortega. Mr. Ortega, thanks for coming in.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks
for having
me. Good to
see you.
Good to see you, sir.
Sarah Garrett Gasson is here. Sarah is columnist and editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for Michael Ortega, the Buckmaster Show live line number is open for you, 790-2040. Our Facebook page is easy. If you know my name, you can find us on Facebook. It's Bill Buckmaster, and we're on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Also on Friday, I like to thank our media partners. These are people who believe in the work we're doing here, and they post a link to the Buckmaster Show on their particular home pages. Dylan Smith and his organization, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com, along with Emil Franzi, Southern Arizona News Examiner.com. Thank you all for your support. Sarah, it's good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll get right into it with Mr. Ortega. And of course, want to begin with the budget. Can you kind of give us an overview of where we are on that situation?
Sure. So I think the last time we spoke, Bill, we had talked a little bit about some of the things that we were facing, and we talked a little bit about pension costs and some of the things that we were looking at for the coming fiscal year. So what we did is I sat down with the council back in December and projected out for them what the remainder of this fiscal year looks like and also what next fiscal year, 16-17, looks like. So as we sat down and went through that, I actually projected what the incremental costs would be and maybe some savings, those kinds of things. So developed some strategies. At the time, we were looking at somewhere around $40 million for next fiscal year, cumulative, so obviously that's ongoing. And so I suggested that we look at a hard hiring freeze. We looked at offering retirement incentives. We looked at moving folks around and doing some things internally. The vast majority of our costs are personnel, so we were looking at how we could reduce those costs by shifting them to the enterprise funds, special revenue funds. And so by doing those things thus far, we reduced that deficit for next year to about $25 million. So $25 million is still a lot of money and still requires quite a bit of focus. So we have been meeting with the leadership team. Basically, those are the department directors, developing strategies, developing ideas that we'll be presenting to the council on the 22nd.
How have the hiring freezes, the buyouts, what kind of savings, was that about what you expected, that people would step up and do the buyouts? The number was pretty much what you expected. And what did that save overall?
So overall savings to date is about $12 million. The buyout itself, or the retirement incentive, didn't quite get us there. But what did get us there is the hard hiring freeze. And so what happened is we lost employees from the general fund, but we also lost them from the special revenue funds and the enterprise funds, so from water, transportation, from environmental services. And what that did is gave us opportunity to start looking at moving folks from the general fund funded positions into those special revenue funds. And so simplistically, by not bringing in folks from the outside, employees from the outside, I was able to move folks away from the general fund. And so all total, we're at about $12 million in savings at this point.
Sarah, jump in.
The Star had a front page story about the new Tucson Police Department Chief Magnus and his plan for reorganization, cutting the number of sworn officers to save money within the police, and it's not going over, as far as I can tell, you know, just everyone's not on board. So can you talk a bit about what that plan is, what it would do, what it means to public safety? There are a lot of concerns about that.
Sure, and I can certainly understand that. I think the key conversation is that the there aren't layoffs. We're not laying off officers. We're not basically cutting back on folks that are currently employed. And I need to emphasize that, because one of the things that I suggested to the council is that the recruitment of police officers is one of the most expensive things that we do, not only in terms of the investment of money and energy and effort of training them and so forth, but the actual recruitment. We're lucky to get, you know, 1-3% of those that apply for positions. And so the plan, if you will, is to continue looking at academies. The chief's plan does include 3.5 or almost 4 academies next fiscal year. So what he basically has done is he's looked at the way that we provide the services. What's our core business? And the core business is fundamentally patrol. And so he's looking at reassigning officers that are doing other functions, other duties, and putting them in the field in patrol. I think a lot of the concern is just not understanding some of the detail, which I think he has explained and he's gone over, and I'm sure he can get into a lot more detail. From where I sit, I'm really looking at it holistically long term, and you know, what do we do to make sure we're continuing to recruit, we're continuing to fill vacancies, but at the same time, we've been telling people we have almost 1,000 sworn officers when we don't. We've had many, many vacancies, in some instances over 100. And so when you start looking at that, it really doesn't give an accurate picture when you say, well, I've got almost 1,000 employees that are sworn officers. And so what I suggested and challenged he and his staff, his team, to do is, okay, let's be realistic about this and make sure people know. Make sure that there's clarity, not only for the public, but also for the employees. I mean, the employees are of huge concern to us, making sure that there's clarity there as well.
So going from, I mean, one of the things that the TPD has said for a long time, that there are these vacancies that, you know, they have the capacity for X number of sworn officers, but they've never been fully or haven't been fully staffed in a long time. Is this a matter of just being more realistic about, rather than saying we have all these openings, we're just going to go back to what the just sort of call reality what it is and say, this is what our operation is and this is our capacity? And then how do you convince the public, not to mention the council, that reducing the number of sworn officers, whether that's just accepting reality or actually reducing them, is going to keep people safe? I mean, that's one of those hot button issues that
sure
always rear comes up.
Well, Sarah, that's the tall order that's in front of us as we have this discussion. And what I've told the council and they've seen in our conversations, I'm very direct, very open with them on what we're trying to do and how we're approaching things. But it is the reality that we are faced with. Those are the number of folks that we have. And so what the chief is trying to do is reorganize so that our core business is the focus. And, you know, it's not to say that there's other functions that those folks are currently doing that aren't important. They are, but it goes back to that core business. So that's the first piece of the conversation. The second piece, though, is that we continue to recruit. And it's not fair to say that those vacancies were held, because they really weren't. I think there has been a continuous effort on the part of the staff to fill those vacancies and get folks on. But as we compete on a variety of fronts, you know, and it's not just a pay issue. It's a work environment issue. It's the type of work. All of the issues that those individuals face make it very difficult to recruit folks onto the force. And so the chief's plan does, like I say, include continuing with academies and recruiting. And so you'll see that time and time again, go back and make sure that we're trying to get those folks to become officers.
All right, let's go to the live line. Tom has been waiting at 790-2040. He has a question about transportation services. Go ahead, Tom.
Our manager, Ortega, will the Sun Van bus system for the disabled be affected by the new budget coming?
Well, it's still a little early. Thank you for the question. It's still a little early to say exactly. I will tell you that the approach that I've taken thus far is one city, one team. And so we're all in this together, and we're looking at all of our operations and all of our programs, and certainly transit is one. I know that the council has expressed sensitivity to that service, particularly our SunVan service, and so I know that that will be part of the conversation. I can't tell you, is it on the block? I'm not in a position where I'm advocating cutting or eliminating programs. I am looking at every program and will be making recommendations for reduced funding on a lot of programs, but I can't tell you at this point any specificity.
SunTran, how big a piece of the pie is SunTran, City Manager Ortega?
I'm sorry that I don't know the exact number, but our subsidy or investment from the general fund is about $40 million, as I recall. Can't hold me to that exactly because I don't remember the exact number, but it's about $40 million out of the general fund. And, Bill, I can get you that number, and maybe you could make sure there's clarity there on that in the future.
All right. Before we take the break, let's work we have Dave, who is on the live line, 790-2040. Go ahead, Dave. Hey, Dave.
Thank you. My question is, why do we continue to have contractors do work for the city in the water department that water department employees can do? And we've proven in some cases we can do it cheaper on overtime than paying the contractor what they charge. Is this happening throughout the city, and is there going to be a serious look at you know, changing this expensive way of getting things fixed or done?
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. And I can tell you that I'm looking at the way we do business across the board. And I can tell you that, as you know, simplistically, when a contractor comes in and does work, and I refer to contractors as anyone who does outside work that is not a city employee, so that's anything from legal help to consultants to actual construction contractors. And my thought there, quite frankly, is if it's an anomaly, something that we're going to do one time or just a few times, then oftentimes it's better for us to bring in the resources that are needed for that particular effort. Specific to water, I have challenged, I don't know if you know this, Bill and Sarah, but we have a new water director. Tim Tomer is on. He's been on now for about a month, and he's hit the ground running. And one of the things that I've challenged him to do is look at how we operate our water business on a macro scale. And that's not just, you know, the water rates and all the usual stuff, but how do we actually get into the detail of providing those services and those construction contracts, and what does that all look like? Because ultimately, we have to assure the voter and we have to assure the ratepayer that we are efficient and effective in our provision. So I can tell you, Dave, everything is on the table, and I'm challenging that on not just in water, but also in parks and a variety of the other functional areas.
And Tim is the new water.
Tim is our new director.
And he will be on the program the last Friday of April. I think it's the 29th. So we'll sit down with him, and it'd be a good time because that's kind of we're coming into the well, it used to be, remember, Sarah, there was the program Beat the Peak?
Beat the Peak.
Yeah, there was like, yeah.
Yep, yep, yep.
I even remember that.
Yeah, Beat the Peak, and that kind of went away. We conserved water, did a great job of it, but now, you know, it's not that because Pete went away, we're not stopping.
need a guy in a big poultry suit to remind us.
And I will tell you, Bill, our consumption is actually going down every year. So the conservation efforts across the city, and I'll let Tim talk more about that, but you know, the entire community has done great things in reducing our consumption.
All right, now is the time. We will take our first break of our Friday Focus show, and we have City Manager Ortega with us. You can join in the conversation, 790-2040. But right now, our Rock and Roll Friday bumper music, Bo Brummels from 1965. Here they are.
I hate to say it, but I told you so. Don't mind my preaching to you. I said, don't trust them, baby, now you know. You don't learn everything there is to know in school. Wouldn't believe me when I gave advice. I said that he was a tease. If you won't help, you better ask me.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They're one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with. It's amazing how they can set up the entire U of A mall with tents, tables, and chairs everywhere in such a short period of time. It's impressive how Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Thanks, Bruce. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Take a page from the Tucson Festival of Books. With our vast selection of tents, tables, chairs, linens, and over 50,000 items in stock, we have event solutions for any occasion. Visit our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Sweet, our worlds can never meet. So I'll cry just a little, cause I love you so.
All right, our Rock and Roll Friday bumper music. A group kind of little known, the Bo Brummels. They were a group out of San Francisco. Probably the reason I kind of have a fondness to them, Sarah, is you know the story. In high school, we needed a group for our high school graduation. So I don't know where we came up with the money, but we flew the Bo Brummels.
You flew them out to Chicago?
Yeah, from San Francisco to New Trier High School in Winnetka, Illinois. Maybe the fact that it's a fairly wealthy school. And we had the Bo Brummels in June of 1965 at our high school graduation party.
That is fantastic. I'm sure they were very well dressed.
Oh, they were. They had the little, well, it's kind of that Beatle look.
Mm-hmm.
They had the, you know, the Beatle haircut. And Mike Ortega doesn't remember any of this because Mike's not old enough to remember. Not old enough to remember 1965. They were called Chesterfield jackets. They had kind of a black, there was a beige jacket, and they had the black collar. Yeah. And that's actually the look when I did see the Beatles, not to brag, but in 1966 at Comiskey Park in Chicago, that's kind of the outfit they had on.
Absolutely.
You know what I tell people about that concert? The only thing I remember was the first song, She Loves You, and all you heard was, She Loves, and the rest was
screaming girls
for the whole concert. Anyway, enough about my reminiscing about 60s music.
I think you need to post photos of you at high school graduation and or prom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I've got website.
Yeah, had a tuxedo.
I think you should.
Had a tuxedo. I have to dig that up. Mr. Ortega is with us. Michael Ortega is the city manager. He has been on the job for a little over 8 months now. And we keep hearing the rumor the city's knocking on the door of bankruptcy. What do you say to these people? Do you want to kill that rumor right now?
Absolutely, and that is absolutely not true. When you look at the total revenues, the total expenses, sure, we have a shortfall, and when we start talking about $25 million, it's a lot of money. But when you look at it in the context of the overall budget, it really is not something where I would say, boy, we're going broke. I mean, if you look at it simplistically, it's about 5-7% of our budget. And so when you start looking at making reductions or cuts or scaling back, that's the conversation. Now, I've not approached it that way. I've not said everybody takes a 5-7% cut because that causes some other issues for us. But that's in essence where we're headed. And, when folks say, the city's going broke and not financially solvent, that's really not true. And it is like anything else where there's something coming. There's a piece out there that you need to address. There's expenses that are coming. So you make adjustments so that you can make those expenses. And that's all there is to it.
Have cities declared? I know there have been some that have declared bankruptcy across the country, but it's very unusual.
I try not to focus on those. But yes,
you'd rather not have a precedent, right?
Yeah, there have been some cities across the United States that have done that. And there's a variety of reasons for that. When you look at their specific situations, they're again, unique to them, and we are not even close to that situation.
All right, here's Sarah Garrett Gasson, Arizona Daily Star.
So you've been on the job and as city manager of Tucson for about 8 months. What's the biggest challenge that you have found that you didn't anticipate coming into the job?
Well, fortunately, when my family and I decided to make the move and quote, go after the job, if you will. And by the way, Today is exactly 1 year from when I went through the interview process with the city council and all the staff and
really?
The public and the whole bit.
Yeah.
So today was exactly a year ago that we went through that. But you know, I did a fair amount of reading and research and talked to a variety of folks. And the issue I was not prepared for as I thought I was, but really wasn't as well prepared, was just the culture of the change that was going to be necessary in order to address the budget. And it sounds like a negative, and it really isn't necessarily. But because of the approaches that we've taken in the past of across-the-board cuts and furloughs, what that does is it affects the morale of the staff. And the staff is the bread and butter. You know, they're the ones that ultimately have to pick up the slack, and they have to do the job and provide the service. And so the focus had not necessarily been on that. It had really been only on the numbers, only on the numbers. And so, you know, I walk in, and my approach is all-inclusive. It's one city, one team. You know, this is all of us together. It's not you as one department, you as another department, or even the mayor and council as a separate entity. It's everybody has to work together. And that has it has surprised me that we had not done that in the past, but in a good way, how everyone's really embraced that. And it's been very refreshing to see the discussion evolve both at the staff level and at the council level. And I think we have to get our house in order first. Then we can start having conversation outside and, you know, having more dialogue with the public. But first and foremost, we need to make sure that we have our dollars in order, if you will, and our house in order.
And the pension issue is huge.
Pension issue is not only huge today, it's been huge and it will continue to be huge for the foreseeable future.
How big a piece is that of the budget?
Well, the current year, we're paying about $54 million in public safety pension. And we are expecting to add about $12 million to that next year. And, you know, when you start looking at that and you're paying almost $70 million in the coming year, that's a big check to write. And so when you see from 1 year to the next, going from, you know, the 54 to nearly 7 million, you're really looking at, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. You just get your checkbook out and you write it. And so it doesn't matter what organization you have. When you see those kinds of hits, it's difficult to absorb. So the conversation I've had with the council is basically around, number one, and I think I need to emphasize this to you, Bill and Sarah, it is not the employee's fault. It is not the firefighters and police officers' fault that this pension is situation is what it is, and that's very important. But there's some things that we can do, and I'll call it cash flow management. So what I suggest to the council is we need to pay that premium up front. So it's much like, you know, your insurance premium. But the difference is that liability is the city's, and that unfunded liability is about $785 million. That's our liability as a community. And so what I've said to the council, our goal should be to try to reduce that as much as we can within the confines of the law, within the confines of the Constitution. So we've done that. The other thing is when we have vacancies, goes back to Sarah's question about the vacancies and so forth in our police department particularly, we need to make sure that we are paying the pension costs for those vacancies. Because the way that the calculation works, it's assuming that all of those positions are full or filled. And so what I've said to the council, don't think of a vacancy as a vacant, you know, where we're not spending any money. We still need to pay that pension because the way the actuarial analysis is accomplished or completed, it assumes those folks are in there and are paying. So we're doing some things. There is a ballot measure, I understand it, that the legislature will be putting on in May. To address public safety pension. But I can tell you that will have basically no impact to us because that is going forward. It's a prospective rule change. And so if you look at the analysis for us, it's going to be 8 to 12 years before we see any benefit from that change. So I've told the council, you know, that's great that the legislature is trying to address that, but we need to move now on some of the things that we're doing.
All right. On this very subject, Dave has called us. Dave called 790-2040. Dave, you're with the city manager, Mike Ortega.
Yes, you said it wasn't the police and fire employees' fault for their pension issues right now. Whose fault was it exactly that they were allowed to sell back time and artificially inflate their pension, their income, so that they would receive retirement checks, you know, indefinitely, that are higher than they should have been?
Okay.
So when you look at the way that this was crafted originally, and it was about 20 years ago or thereabouts, the system that was created at that time allowed that. And so I can't tell you exactly who was engaged in that discussion many years ago, but I know that the effort was to try to standardize all of the different pension programs for public safety officers and firefighters. And so those were the rules. Those were allowed. And over time, I've certainly recognized that there are some things that we can change, and I've recommended those to council and other boards that I've worked for. But that was at least 20 years ago that those decisions were made, and unfortunately we're the ones paying for it now.
So the next step in this budget process, there'll be some hearings, correct?
That's correct. There'll be some discussion. The mayor and council will meet on the 22nd of March. I will formally present to them some thoughts, some ideas. I'm not really looking for a decision on that day. I'm looking for just them to be educated on some of the things that the executive leadership teams come up with, basically department directors. We'll talk through every department, every functional area, every funding source. Then I've asked the council to meet with the department heads in a retreat type setting where we will work together to go through it in more detail, but also throw more things on the table. And then that'll probably be the first week of April. And then April 19th will actually be the date that I will take a proposal to the council, which will be a balanced budget for next fiscal year.
It has to be balanced.
Has to be balanced.
State law, right?
State law requires that.
Okay. Mr. Ortega, Michael Ortega, thank you very much for giving us an update on what's going on with the city budget. We appreciate you coming by, and we'll look forward to talking to you again. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up now on 12:36, Sarah and I will chat when we come back on our roundtable right after this from the Beau Brummels.
Tell me that I should not cry. You tell me all good things must die. You ask me why I get upset. You tell me that I will forget. Tell me why.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.? Well,
flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad
is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Show. That's the music of the Beau Brummels. Not well known. Well, they had a couple of hits. This, Tom, you really went back in the vault for this one. Looking at the video of that from the Hullabaloo Season 2, Episode 3 that aired in September of 1965. So Rock and Roll Friday, that's our bump music. And I want a quick shout out to one of our charter sponsors on the program, Vero Amore. What a great place for authentic Neapolitan pizza. And they're celebrating their 10-year anniversary, March 23rd. And to celebrate, in the last half of March, Vero Amore is offering items from their original menu. Along with original items, the menu will feature the original pricing from 10 years ago. What a deal, huh? Over at Plaza Palomino, my friends Eric and Josh Mussman, the owners, they'll be there on the 23rd. Champagne and cake and, of course, pizza. So it should be a lot of fun. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here. Sarah, Beau Brummels, you kind of like their music.
I do. Yeah. I do indeed. But you're right. They're not as, of the 60s, they're not as well known among just sort of the general audience. But true 60s aficionados such as yourself know all about them.
Well, speaking of kind of rock and roll music, our friend Ray Allen, who is my producer Monday through Thursday, Ray and his dad were up in Phoenix at the Talking Stick Resort. They had the pleasure, Sarah, of seeing The Boss.
Wow, that is...
Springsteen, that is, last night. They said it was a fantastic concert.
How could it be otherwise?
There you go. You know, Donald Trump has said some crazy, from Donald Trump. Right? He said some crazy stuff, and I think this might make his maybe the top three wacko crazy things that Mr. Trump has said. He was doing an interview with Bob Woodward, the famous journalist.
Yes.
Right. On MSNBC on Wednesday, and Bob asked Mr. Trump, "How are you going to make Mexico pay for this wall?" And so Mr. Trump said, "Well, we'd be willing to go to war with Mexico to make sure we get the money to pay for the wall." And he actually brought up nuclear weapons.
Yeah. It's a different reality that he's existing in. Yeah, he's. And I enjoyed how he commended himself last night on the debate during the debate for being so civil. And
yeah,
that was just priceless. He's a dangerous, dangerous man.
And he said, "Oh, I can go the other way too." You know, well, yeah, we know he can go the other way, right. But he showed he could be.
He can do anything.
Civil. Yeah, he can do anything. Anyway, enough about Mr. Trump. We had Cam Juarez from the TUSD Governing Board on the show, and we were talking this week about the whole DSEG plan, and the public really is so confused. Why is TUSD still under this?
Well, if you're confused about this, you're in with plenty of company, because it is a long and 30-year twists and turns through the federal court system with the settlement and the agreement. And then basically the shortcut answer is that TUSD has not been able to prove satisfactorily to the federal court that it has improved the quality of education sufficiently to minority students, specifically Hispanic, Latino, and African American students, that there's still inequality there. And so the district really wants to get out from under this court order, saying the demographics of the district have changed, it's outdated, it's not fair. And the court basically today or this week said that some of the plans that TUSD had put forward to help integrate the district, because that's what desegregation is all about, along with school quality and educational quality, is not going to work, and that it's not satisfactory. So basically, TUSD is trying to get out from under court supervision, and the court is saying, you're not done yet.
And the critics of TUSD, and of course there's no shortage of critics, are saying, well, TUSD likes the DSEG order because they get money.
They do get an awful lot of money, mm-hmm. And bazillions, technically speaking, over the whole life of the court case. But no, I mean, it is a serious chunk of money, and there have been limits put on that by the legislature over the past 10 or so years. But it is definitely a factor. I don't know if I would go so far as to say they don't want, because I don't think if the DSEG order is finished and closed, that money necessarily goes away. Mm. I don't know that that's the case.
Maybe
it could be changed.
Yeah. 790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation. Sarah, I like your T-shirt.
Thank you.
It's got that literary rabbit.
Yes.
On the T-shirt, which has become the logo for the Tucson Festival of Books, of which your employer, the Arizona Daily Star, one of the principal supporters, backers of the festival, which is, it started off as what was it, 8 years ago, and now it's become, I think, either the second or third largest book festival in the country.
It has grown by leaps and bounds, that's for sure. Yeah, the Arizona Daily Star was one of the, when John Humanick was our publisher, he's now got promoted and is a vice president in Lee Enterprises, but they were, he and the Star were one of the founding groups with that, and it's something the Star is very proud of, our participation in that. And we have a lot of really great authors coming across the event. It's Saturday and Sunday, and I know people really enjoy.
It's free.
It is free. Yeah. It is free. There are some events.
The parking, was an issue, not really an issue, but there will be some parking areas will be, I think, $5.
Yeah, and there's food mm-hmm. for purchase and all of that. And, of course, you can buy books.
Of course.
So bring money for that. But yeah. You can hear a lot of great authors. And I know that something that the local folks really enjoy is when David Fitzsimmons does his thing in the Arizona Daily Star tent. And so he is going to appear with Dave Devine and do some Tucson trivia Sunday at 4, kind of wrap things
historian up. Dave Devine.
Yes, historian Dave Devine. So that'll be fun.
So the Star has a tent.
We do have a tent. Mm-hmm. It is on the mall with a lot of the other tents. And it's something that's really fun. We have Maureen Corrigan coming out. I know author John Branch is going to be there. He's in a different venue for you sports writers.
There's something for everyone.
There is literally something for everyone. And the great thing is the authors are right there to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Linda Valdez, our own Linda Valdez, is going to be on hand.
Talking about her book. And then I'm going to be I'm looking forward to this, tomorrow morning at 10. Hopefully I'll see a lot of our listeners out there and say hello. I'll be doing a one-on-one interview with a very famous historian. His name is Douglas Brinkley. He's had at least 10 or 12 best-selling books, but his most recent books deal with the Roosevelts and their connection to the parks. And this is the centennial year for our national park system.
Absolutely. That sounds like a really good one.
That will be at the Gallagher Theater in the Student Union at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. So a couple of plugs for the book festival. But again, there's a huge event also. So folks can go to the book festival, then they can go out to Davis-Monthan. This is the big air show. The Thunderbirds are in town. I think I just heard them flying over the studio a few moments ago. In fact, I hear them right now as they're doing their warm-ups.
Yes. Yeah. They and it's going to be an open house for DM and there is no excuse for not getting out and about this weekend in Tucson. It's one of those weekends where there's something literally for everyone.
All right, we've got also the St. Patrick's Day Parade. That is Sunday. I think there are all sorts of activities from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Armory Park, I believe, for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Sarah, thank you very much. I will see you tomorrow, probably on campus for the book festival, and good luck. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right, that's going to do our roundtable. Today we've got the Speaking of the Weekend, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. That's coming up right after this.
Snoopy lives in a very bad part of town. All the girls I know, they try to bring my Snoopy down.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
You're invited to the 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's awards in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. Our keynote speaker is Congresswoman Martha McSally. Join us as we celebrate Tucson's business community. It is the business event of the year. Register now at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo, plus the monthly scam alert from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. It's Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We live stream the show, podcast, and show archive on my site, buckmastershow.com. All right, that music means officially it is the weekend on the Buckmaster Show Weekend Watch with award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage columnist Matt Russell, brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where Grammy Award winner Eliza Gilkison is performing at the Buckhorn Opera House, and that is just north of Silver City in the delightful mountain town of Pinos Altos, 7,000-foot elevation. Great place. That's a week from Saturday, so it'd be a great time to take a road trip to Silver City. It's only 3 hours east of Tucson. Great places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. You can find out about what's going on and the many places to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Matt Russell. And Matt, if you can't find something to do this weekend in Tucson, well, there's no hope for you.
I'm telling you what, Bill. You know, it's not even 1 o'clock, and I'm already thinking about happy hour.
Well,
what a week it's been.
Yeah, you walk in the door on a Friday morning at Russell Public Communication, you're thinking of happy hour.
I have my note from Bill Buckmaster. Let the weekend begin.
There you go.
Downtown is calling my name today. I think proper on Congress is going to get the nod. They've got a great vibe and great cocktails. And they're creative. And how creative, you ask? Consider the Beat Around the Bush, made with vodka, lemon, ginger syrup, sage, and house-made beet bitters. That is vintage proper. And when you pair that cocktail with some of their roasted beets with a blue cheese fondue, you can embrace the full spirit of the weekend. I say give proper a go for happy hour today. It starts at 2:30.
Sounds like a winner, and we've been talking earlier about the Tucson Festival of Books.
A world-class event, Bill, and all of my fellow foodies are going to have fun hanging around the event's culinary stage on Saturday and Sunday. Lectures and demonstrations on baking and Jewish cuisine, pasta, Mexican home cooking, and more are scheduled through the weekend, and a host of local restaurants are going to be serving up their finest, including Frankie's South Philly cheesesteaks and Tucson Tamale Company. Head out to the U of A Mall this weekend and enjoy the Festival of Books.
Time for springtime in Italy.
I tell you what, every now and then our friends at Roma Imports over there on South Vine host special family-style dinners to showcase various regions of the globe. And tomorrow night they're going to feature, as you said, springtime in Italy. A full spread will be set before their guests with 7 appetizers, 8 main course dishes, and a sweet sampling of Italian desserts. The entire feast, Bill, is only $45 a person, but you have to get a reservation. So call 792-3173 and prepare to take your palate on a tour of Italy tomorrow night.
It is going to be a great weekend. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, Matt. Thank you so much.
You do the same, Bill. Cheers.
All right. All right, so much going on this weekend, and while you are out and about on your way over to different events in town, keep it on KVOI. Not only do we do 5 hours during the week, Monday through Friday, of local talk, we've got expert talk all over the place here on the weekend, including one of my favorite shows, Swap Shop, where if you can't find it there, you can't find it anyway, anywhere. Charles Heller hosting that show coming up at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content on behalf of our entire team here at KVOI, our operations manager, Ray Allen, station owners, Doug and Mary Martin, thank you to them. Production ace, Jerry Cross, my producer, of course, on Friday, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, of course, producing Monday through Thursday, Ed Alexander for all of his producing abilities, and my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, on behalf of all of us, have a safe and wonderful weekend.